Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and it is lovely to be here. This is the podcast where I talk all about interesting information that I've discovered about the world. It has nothing to do with the Kink TV show, which I also host, and if you want to see that and you're in Melbourne, it's on at 11:30pm every Friday night on Channel 31. And if you're not in Melbourne, then just YouTube search the Kink TV show and you'll be able to watch all episodes there. Now, before we get started, I must warn you about this. That noise. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's just me sipping my green tea. Now, on today's podcast, I will be doing part 4 of the video commentary to Wake Up Call, The New World Order, the movie, the YouTube documentary, whatever. So this is part 4 of it. So I'd recommend going and listening to earlier podcasts if you're new to this, and go to part 1 and start on about it. Whatever. I just stuffed up then. So this is a documentary about the New World Order, and I'm commentating it, and we're 22 minutes in, and it's a great documentary. And everyone who's been following the previous podcasts don't want me to continue talking crap. And people who are new to it, you have to go back to the earlier parts. But you can still listen to this one, but I recommend going back to part 1 and listening to that there, because I fully explain what this whole documentary is about, and you probably won't really understand it if I just start from now on. Anyway, I'm feeling a bit weird right now, so we're going to get into it. We are going to start this video commentary. Part 4, we're 22 minutes in, so I'm going to press play on this documentary. And let's get started.
On the outskirts of the national capital today, black limousines with darkened windows converged on a hotel where private security guards imposed ironclad control. The limos carried royalty, political power brokers, and industrial titans.
Okay, this is referring to the Bilderberg meetings, where all these really rich people meet privately to discuss their plans on taking over the world and countries and all this sort of stuff. They meet up with politicians and stuff, and it's all kept secret, you know what I mean? Because they, you know, the rich people don't want the media and average person to know that they're all meeting up secretly and planning on, you know, who's going to be the next president and stuff. They want the average person to actually think that they choose who the next president is.
The secret meeting that will last all weekend is known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
Yes.
If you haven't...
Okay, so the Bilderberg Group, group of rich people to get together and, you know, organise taking over the world or whatever. Now, how it is obviously each one of those people who are involved in that, they're real big shots, really, really rich people, like not really Richard Branson level, more like just at a level of richness that is just disgustingly rich. Anyway, so these people, right, because they want to take over the world, each one of them obviously would want to be the king of the world, right? But the thing is, in order to take over the world, they're collaborating and working together in teams, you know what I mean? And they're good buddies with blah, blah, blah. So you got one dude who's really, really rich, and then the other person who's really, really rich, and then they're friends, and they can work together to maybe set prices for things or help a certain person get elected and stuff. So that would stab each other in the back in order to get power and control and stuff. But they're only working together at the moment because they want to, you know, get a bit of help to take over the world and stuff. But yeah, don't worry. When they do get that power, and when they get this new world order where there is a one world government, then suddenly they'll be fighting each other to try and become the president of that one world government. You know what I mean? Anyway, and the people who work for these really, really rich people who are corrupt, and the people who work for them, just the low-level people, who are getting paid a decent amount of money just to work for them and do things like either kill people or, you know, be their accountant or whatever. Those people can be bought and paid for really easily as well. Like, it's not like they really have an allegiance to the person they're working for. They just are happy with whoever's paying them. So if you were really, really rich, you could buy the people who are working for them and have them work for you. Anyway, let's continue.
The Bilderbergers, it's for one reason only. They haven't wanted you to. At their annual closed-door meetings, no outsiders are allowed even close to the building. Here are gathered the most powerful individuals of the Western world, united regularly at club meetings. Yet nothing is reported by the New York Times, the Washington Post, or the LA Times.
Okay, see how the newspapers are not reporting on these sort of things, yet they'll report on global warming like there's no tomorrow, or they'll report on parents who refuse to vaccinate their kids, they'll report on that. You know what I mean? Like, the media is just really, really dodgy. I mean, I mentioned that in other podcasts, but it's just like, that's just how they roll. Like, when Ron Paul was going into the 2012 elections, the media were obviously following some rules from some people high up who were probably involved with this Bilderberg group, and they just didn't report on Ron Paul. Like, he was just, it was just like, nah. They just blacklisted him. Like, literally, they just did not do any news reports about him. And he was maintaining it. He was developing a big movement and people getting on board. And it was just like Obama versus Ron Paul. But the media just completely ignored him. Like, Trump has done it really, really, really well. Because Trump is actually a good guy, right? But because he's come across as a bit crazy and stuff, a bit of a warmonger sort of guy, and also because he intentionally does controversial things in order to get in the media, get coverage in the media, they've had to report on him. Whereas Ron Paul's like this nice, sweet old man who isn't like sort of crazy and out there like Trump. So when he was running for the elections in 2012, they could just ignore him. And I know it sounds crazy, but this is literally what they did, right? They would say, let's say they'll go, oh, we held an election in South Carolina, and first came Mick Johnson, and David Parker came third, and blah, blah, blah came fourth. And they would literally just ignore ignore Ron Paul's name, just leave him out. You can watch videos on YouTube about it, and it's just like, what the hell? Like, they actually just completely ignored him. So, So when you give them a message saying you're not allowed to report on Ron Paul, right, and then all the media who are bought and paid for just follow that rule, the average Joe doesn't really get to hear much about Ron Paul, so he doesn't get elected president. You know what I mean? Whereas someone like Obama in 2008 was just like this Australian idol, like, you know, and he was just absolutely playing the game and stuff, and he was getting reported on by all the news agencies and all this sort of stuff, and, you know, the average person could start hearing about him, and it's just like, when you're in control of the media, you can make whoever you want to be the president, basically. Okay? It's just like the same as, it's a similar thing that they try and do in the entertainment industry, like, with a comedian, right? If you take a comedian and they've got a big backing, suddenly, you know, with connections, that person will give them a special spot on a TV show, and they'll go, "Oh, the new up and comer, Jimmy Johnson," and then they'll go, and then they'll do another thing with some other big comedian, like a collab thing, and then like they create this fake impression that this person's really crash hot and just the new coolest comedian, and then next minute there's a newspaper report saying with him in the paper shaking hands with Jimmy Johnson, and you got to question, like, how did he get that spot on the newspaper? Because there's plenty of successful comedians that have been around for many, many years, but they don't get a photo on the, you know, front cover of a newspaper. You know what I mean? How does that person get to be there? Well, usually they're probably paid for that. You know what I mean? Or it's some sort of connection or something like that. That's why it's all about connections. And so when it comes to trying to make someone into a crash-hot comedian, right, or trying to make someone get voted into office, you do similar things where you just, like, you just put them in the media and you just, like, blah, 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 blah. Then you just, like, show a photo of them giving a... You get them to give a speech at a university, and then they see him standing at Oxford delivering a speech for 20 minutes, and then they get a news report about that, and then the average person sees that and goes, oh, this person's really smart and intelligent because they were talking at Oxford. And, like, it's all about creating the impression. You know what I mean? Anyway. So, yeah, that's just me talking crap. But, yeah, that's... So, basically, with this Bilderberg thing, when you have a media that's controlled, you can just not report on things and it's fine. You know? Anyway, it sounds crazy, but I couldn't believe when I first looked into it and saw that the media just ignored Ron Paul. Like, as in, Ron Paul would go in 2012, would go and deliver a speech to, like, a university or something. And he'd have, like, thousands of people there. And it was a crash hot thing. It's so something that the news should report on. Yet they'll go and report on another politician who would have an audience that was like a quarter of the size. And it's just like, what the hell? You know? And a lot of the time, like, there was a time when I think a year ago, I went to a protest against vaccines, and none of the new major TV news stations reported on it. They just ignored it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, they've probably got some order not to report on it. And then you see the Project TV show on Channel 10 do a report talking about parents not getting their kids vaccines. And they do a story saying that vaccines are really, really good. And there's no scientific evidence to say that vaccines are bad. Like, none. Which is just an absolute lie. And it's just like, gee, I wonder who's, you know, buys and controls your media and stuff, you know? Probably someone who sells vaccines, you know? And they do another thing as well in the media, in that they'll do news reports on somebody who was an alternative health person who stuffed up. So this alternative health person said that something could cure cancer and it didn't cure cancer. And they'll go, see, this alternative health person said that this could cure cancer, and now they're getting fined for claiming it could cure cancer when it didn't cure cancer. Uh-huh, this alternative health person's wrong. Alternative health is bad. Alternative health is bad. Just watch Jamie Oliver's Tonight Show or whatever on the Comedy Channel. Okay? That show's just full of propaganda, and the Project TV show in Australia. Full of propaganda, those things. They're totally bought and paid for, those shows, right? Anyway, so that there's heaps of alternative health breakthroughs and new ways of curing things and all these sort of things. And do they get in the news? No. What gets in the news is when an alternative health person stuffs up. Why? Because the people who own the news are the people who sell lots of drugs and make lots of money from them. Okay? So, anyway, that's just my little thing. It's just funny when you see them bagging some alternative health person. It's just like, yeah, but what about all the good things about alternative health that you're not talking about? And so I've woken up to all these things in the past 5 years, and it's just like, 5 years ago, I didn't know anything about this stuff. And it's just like, no wonder why, because I was getting all my information from the freaking, from the usual sources and stuff, and it's just a load of crap. You know, and it's just like, if you go to your general practitioner, right, and you say to them, you know, you have depression, they don't sit you down and go, these are the things you need to do to cure depression, blah, blah, blah. All they do is they sit you down and go, oh, well, you can sort of do this and, oh, maybe try this drug. Like, they barely even know what they're talking about, you know what I mean? Anyway, this is me whinging about the medical system. Anyway, the medical system's been bought off by the drug companies because they make so much money from the drug. Anyway... Okay, so let's continue this documentary.
What really fascinates me is the complete blackout in the American press. For more than 20 years, I've gone down to the press club every day. I check the wires in their library and mingle with other paper boys. And I ask them the question many times, why when if 120 film stars or 120 NFL football players met behind locked and guarded doors in a remote location for 3 days, you'd try very hard to...
Okay, exactly. So this Bilderberg meeting is a bunch of really, really big shots, really, 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 really big shots, right? Of course you'd do a news report on it, but they don't, right? Yet they'll do a news report on, like, Charlie Sheen farting or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's because the newspapers isn't really there to report the news. You know what I mean? Like look at the newspaper, right? Jerry Seinfeld had some joke that was like, isn't it funny every day that the same amount of stuff that happens fits perfectly into the news, into the newspaper? You know what I mean? Because they do this thing when they do a newspaper or they do a TV show news report, and they do one story about global conflict, one story about finances, one story about health, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, they tick all the boxes and they put together a half-hour show that's a news show, or they put together a newspaper. And they don't have it so it's like... They might have a random section at the end, but they... Every single time they go to make the news on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday, they're just following the same pattern of reporting on some war in Iraq, and then the next thing is some healthcare thingo, and the next thing some political thing, and it's just like, the problem with that is that you watch the news every day and you go, gosh, there's lots of wars going on, you know what I mean? Or one of the sections is also like local domestic violence or something, so local crime, so that would be like somebody breaking into a 7-Eleven and stealing something, or someone murdering someone in the suburbs of the city or something like that. So you watch the news and you get hit with like some overseas crisis going on, some war overseas with guns that's not good, or bombs going off, and the next thing you got like a local domestic fighting going on. And it makes you think, and you see this every day, and it makes you think, oh, gosh, there's lots of problems going on, isn't there, and stuff. But it's just like, you know, there's a big world, there's always stuff going on, but they don't report on the good news, do they? It's always bad news that they're reporting on. You know, it's like, why always bad news? It's just they follow this strict pattern, and then if they do a story on... So besides this pattern that the news TV shows follow, right, and the newspapers follow... They also have the rules that are like, don't report on anything that says vaccines are bad. You're not allowed to do that. Another rule that says, don't report on anything that says global warming might not be happening. Don't report on that. You know what I mean? Don't report on Ron Paul in 2012. He doesn't exist. Don't do a news story about him. You know? Anyway, so that's why Trump is so clever, because he plays the game so well. It's like some of the things he does... He intentionally does controversial things to throw his name out there. He does everything he can to throw his name out there. And then people go, who the hell's this Trump guy? What the hell's he saying? Blah, blah, blah. And then he's got them. Then he's got his audience. Because there's one thing, even though the news follows these rules and stuff, there's one other thing that it's like a wild card where you can break all these rules, right? And what that is if it's something controversial, because controversy sells, right? They love that, the news. So... They're writing their show or they're writing their newspaper for the day, and if something outrageous, controversial comes up, then they'll probably pop it in. You know what I mean? Like, if it's really, like, if it's done well and stuff, because it's going to sell. And if you don't think controversy sells, just make some post on Facebook that's controversial, and you watch how crash hot that goes on Facebook. How many likes and thingos and comments and stuff. And that's what the newspapers follow. They just follow just controversy, controversy, controversy. That's what they do, the newspapers, right? They want to get people emotional and stirred up, and they just want to sell newspapers. So that's why it's not really good to really focus a lot on the TV news and the newspapers, because when you're watching it, you're getting your buttons pushed and you're getting all these controversial things, and it's just designed to just get you going, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? Like, they write the headings of the articles in, like, an outrageous title, like, woman has sex with a duck or something, when, like, that didn't really happen. It was just like... It was a lot, like, they over-exaggerate the title, you know what I mean? So it catches you and you're like, ooh, ooh. And it's like some controversy or something. Anyway, let's continue with this documentary.
find out what those movie stars and football players are doing. Well, I have no curiosity at all when 120 of the world's most powerful financial leaders and political leaders meet for 3 days in a remote location behind armed guards in a complete blackout. Well, I have no curiosity.
The people who call conspiracy theorists are not the conspiracy theorists themselves. We're talking about facts.
So when people talk about, because I'm a conspiracy theorist, you call me that. The thing about it is that people don't look into the conspiracy theories. So I'm cool with someone calling someone a conspiracy theorist if they've thoroughly investigated the conspiracy that's being talked about, and then they go, no, you're wrong, you're a conspiracy theorist. So like, let's say the 9/11 conspiracy theory. If somebody thoroughly looked into that, then said, you know, it's a load of crap, you're a conspiracy theorist, and crazy, then that's fair enough, right? And they had some arguments to back it up. But if they just go, that sounds crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist, and they don't do any investigating into 9/11, then they're not worth having a debate with or even listening to. You know? Because I noticed that that's what you tend to get. People go, oh, that's outrageous, and they ignore it and stuff. And when I first heard about the 9/11 conspiracy theory, I was like, well, that's wild. But these things need to be looked into. You know what I mean? And when I was involved with the Church of Scientology, and I might have heard one or two things that were saying the church isn't that good or a bit out there and stuff, I sort of thought in my head, oh, that's a wild conspiracy theory, right? And it seems like that when you don't know, but then, you know, after all this time and all this looking into it and investigating it, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's just like when you got a preponderance of evidence, you just like, whoa, this is just the truth, you know? And when it comes to all these spiritual things, like past lives, people floating out of their bodies as spirits, ghosts, you know, out-of-body experiences, telepathy, these things sound wild, but then you look into them and you go, no, there's the evidence, you know? And you can't say 100% until you actually experience it for yourself, but you have to say, look, there's just so much evidence, it's probably got to be true, you know? It's like 90% true, it's got to be true, you know? There's just so much evidence, you know? And something like the 9/11 conspiracy, or when I was talking about alternative health and stuff and how there can be some really good alternative health, right? When the media don't talk about these things, when these things aren't taught in school, then you go along not hearing about any of these things, and then you get hit with something that's like, you know, blah, blah, blah can cure cancer, or 9/11 was a conspiracy, and you go, well, that's outrageous, right? And it sounds outrageous because you haven't heard anything. But if you'd been growing up with a reasonable news that actually reported on alternative health, and a reasonable media that actually would say certain things like, oh, you know, there's some questions about what's going on with 9/11 and stuff, and you hear a little bit over the years, when someone would say to you, oh, do you know blah, blah, blah can cure cancer? You would go, oh, yeah, I heard a little bit about that, and you wouldn't think it's crazy and over the top. Or someone could hit you with, you know, oh, did you hear 9/11 was caused by the government or whatever? And you go, oh yeah, I heard a little bit about that. And you wouldn't think it's absolutely outrageous and go, oh, that's wild, and just ignore it. But when you're closed off and hidden from information and kept not knowing about anything, that's when this new information is such a shock. Because that's what we are. We're all closed off. Thanks to the internet, we're not getting closed off as much, and we're starting to break out of this stuff, and we're beating it all. But, you know, in the past, we've just been going along and so closed off. It's like the people who are involved with the Church of Scientology, like the church members, they're in the church and they follow the rules of the church and don't know anything about it, and they go along and they don't hear anything, and then they get hit with something And they're like, what the fuck? Like, I said to, like, when I left the church, right, I had a friend call me from the church, and he was saying to me, you know, what's going on with you, blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, look, I found out, you know, what the truth is, you know, this is what I think is going on with the church, blah, 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 blah. And I go, I've thoroughly thought about this, and I've come to my decision, and I won't be going back or anything. And he suggested to me that that I'd gone crazy, right? Whereas I hadn't gone crazy at all. I'd actually gone the opposite of crazy. I'd actually found out the truth and was a lot smarter, a lot happier, and a lot more switched on. But because he hadn't heard any of this stuff that I was talking about, I came across as being crazy. You know, but I know that deep down he's thinking there's something I haven't worked out about Andy. It's something I don't know that's going on. Like, there's a little bit that he's confused about. And if he hears something else from someone else, maybe he'll start piecing the puzzle together and then finally go, I'm going to look into what Andy was saying and actually speak to him or investigate the things I was talking about, and he'll find out the truth. But anyway, it's all about being closed off and closed-minded. It's the worst thing ever, okay? There's two forms of having an open mind. There are people who are really hippie type of people who are open-minded, and they like almost don't believe in anything. And they're just like really loose and just totally, you know, anything goes. And they're like, yeah, and they're usually into just getting high all the time and stuff. They're like, yeah, I'm open-minded, man. Yeah, I'll try that. Yeah, I'll try that. Yeah. But they don't really get anything done with their life, and they're just kind of useless, right? They've actually got some serious issues they've got to sort out, right? But then there's another form of open mind where you're not closed off and you're willing to hear new sources of information. And you're willing to find out what the truth is, and you're not stubborn. You're not like, no, we're a Christian, or no, we're a Scientologist, or just like, you know what I mean? Like, you're actually open to new sources of information. And someone like Tom Cruise is a classic example, because Tom Cruise is a closed-minded sort of person, right? If he was open-minded, he would not still be involved with the church, right? Which I found out recently he still is involved, which is something new, because I thought he'd been quiet for a long, long time. I think maybe because he copped a lot of shit for back in 2008 or whatever for some of the stuff he did, and for his career or whatever, he just decided to go quiet on it. Anyway, the thing is, you want to have an open mind, you know what I mean? Like, my religion, right, is a Scientologist. I'm into it. I believe what's going on in it. You know, I'm not involved with the church or anything, but there's a lot of good information in there and stuff. I'm totally it. It's like, the word means, like, the study of knowledge, right, and knowing stuff. And that's totally what I'm into. That's totally what this podcast is into, right? So it's almost like you can be a Scientologist without even studying Scientology, you know? Right? So I'm totally into it. I'm down 100%. It's totally my thing. It totally interests me. I've got benefits from it. All this sort of crap, right? But that doesn't mean I'm closed-minded. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean I don't look into other religions or other things or try other things and have an open mind and learn all these things, right? So people, you can be religious or whatever, but just don't be so stubborn and stuff. Keep your mind open. What you've got to be is, you've got to be a sponge that just sucks in information. All the information you can get, right? But here's the problem. This is what churches will say and teachers or whatever will say. They'll go, no, no, don't do that because you can get bad information. Yeah, of course. This world is just pumped up with a lot of bad information. But here's the thing. You've got to learn the ability to tell what is the truth or try and work out what is the truth. You've got to work out that skill, and that's extremely important. You know what I mean? And until you get that skill, you might as well not suck in a lot of information. And you might be asking me, how the hell do you get the skill of being able to tell what's the truth or not? Well, you just investigate it, look into it, you see the person who's talking, are they evil, are they an idiot, are they a loser? Why would you listen to them if they're a loser? You know what I mean? You just judge the information and you look at it scientifically, you try and, you know, research things and back up what they said and does that make sense and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So it's like, let's say someone says to you, right, you go, great, I'm going to be a sponge, I'm going to absorb all this information, right? Someone says to you, okay, global warming isn't occurring, it's bullshit. And you go, great, I'm taking that on board, great, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so obviously you've got to use your skill now to work out if it's the truth, because you don't want to take on bullshit lies. So you look at who's saying it, and you go, who are they paid by, or, you know, does it look like he's lying, and you got to judge him and stuff, and if he's an evil person, you go, well, why would someone lie about that? And you go, well, let me look for myself, let me see with my own eyes, what do I see? Do I actually see any heating going up in the area that I live in? You know what I mean? That's how you do it. And so when it came to me, let's say when I was involved with the Church of Scientology, and then coming across some information that was like, you know, oh, my church isn't all that's cracked up to be, right? I looked at the information and I didn't just suck it in. I filtered it through my ability to see what the truth is, you know, and I looked at it and I was like, yeah, well, look what I see going on in my church. Yeah, this is explained stuff. Yeah, that's why this is dodgy in the church and that's dodgy. And yeah, it all pieced together and it makes sense. And it goes, no, that person's not lying. You know what I mean? And then also sometimes someone would seem to be lying, but they're actually just sort of exaggerating things and you could sort of work it out. And so you got to be smart. You got to really look into these things and work out what's going on. And that's how you do it. So you either, most people are in this closed off condition where they're just so confused by everything and they're so used to the lies in the media and bad advice people give them and all this sort of stuff. And so they just close off and just go, nah, I'm just keeping to myself, right? But the problem is you got to open yourself up, right? And work out the information that's coming your way, is it useful? Is it the truth? Does it help me? Is it coming from a trustable source or whatever? And then take it on, right? So, yeah. I just wanted to say that. All right. Let's continue with this documentary.
Facts. The Bilderberg Group does exist. The Federal Reserve does exist. The people who are members of the Bilderberg Group are also the people who do control the Federal Reserve. These are all facts.
In 1954, the elite of the planet met in secret at the Bilderberg Hotel in Oosterbeek, Holland. The Bilderberg Group would later admit that their mission was the formation of the EU. Once the EU was established, under the guise of trade deals.
Okay, just to mention, see how they're trying to establish the EU? So Europe is one country, that's just like out of the book 1984, and thank God just recently Britain left the Euro, which was great. The EU, they just told them to F off, you know, we're going to be alone and we're going to govern ourselves and we're not going to be involved with, you know, this whole... I think a lot of people are waking up to New World Order, okay? It's a big... This documentary was made in, I think, 2009 or 2010 or something. So this is actually quite out of date. This documentary was made when stuff was really, really bad. I'll tell you when the really, really bad, and I think when everything in the world was at its lowest, and it was after the GFC, which happened in, like, 2008 or whatever. So it was, like, around 2010, 2011, 2012. Things were so, so, so bad. And, you know, these European unions were winning, and it was like it was going to come together where they were going to have, you know, this takeover of the world, like described in 1984, the book. Anyway, let's continue.
American Union and Asian Union would be formed. The three interlocking superstates form the core of the global government, while the United Nations would serve as a world regulatory and enforcement body over the third world subregions. The Bilderberg Group consists of the heads of all of the managing roundtable groups that steer individual countries. Picture the elite power structure of the world as a giant pyramid, with only the elite of the elite at the tip top of the capstone. The group has been so secretive that until the mid-1980s, the controlled corporate media denied its existence. Into the late 1990s, coverage only consisted of rare one-line mentions.
It's showing a newspaper, like a small reporter newspaper.
With the rise of the alternative media, their stranglehold on information has begun to slip.
Alternative media is where it's at, I'm telling you, because they can't do this thing that they do with the newspapers or the TV shows where they control everything. Alternative media, like on the internet and people doing YouTube things and this podcast where we talk out, enables us to get the voice out. See, you can go along pumping kids full of vaccines and damaging them and stuff. But when you've got the alternative media, people can make posts and they can get shared and make videos and they can go around. And people can find out, oh, this person's kid was harmed by vaccines. Maybe my kid was harmed by vaccines because they were bad straight after they got vaccinated. They got sick straight after that, so that's a bit questionable. All right, but when they don't have control of that... Sorry, when... The average person doesn't have the internet and stuff like that to use, and they just go to their newspaper, which is controlled, and the television, which is controlled. The television can just not report on any kids being harmed by vaccines, and then you just don't hear about it, right? And the only way you'd hear about it was if you socialized and traveled a lot and talked to a lot of people, and then you just hear from word of mouth, basically. So what's happened, right, with the internet and alternative media, it's basically increased word of mouth like there's no tomorrow. So the cat's out of the bag. And this all makes sense. And I'm sorry to bring up the Church of Scientology, but I'll bring it up again because this is a classic example where people can be going into the church and they cannot know anything that's going on because all they see is controlled magazines from the church and controlled events from the church that don't talk about any of the bad stuff, right? And you might just have one friend Scientologist or two, and they're the only two people you can hear from if something bad goes on in their experience in the church. They're the only people that you can hear from, right? But with the alternative media and the internet and all these other sort of sources, you can just jump on the internet and start shooting around and finding things and blah, blah, blah. And you can hear about Jimbo's story in Sydney or Jane's story in New York or Sarah's story in England, right? And suddenly, it's like you've got this huge connection and database of people. Suddenly, you've got heaps and heaps and heaps of friends to find out all this information from. Because you're not getting it from the controlled sources. They're not telling you anything bad. You know what I mean? And so word of mouth is how we shoot these globalists down, basically. How we stop the New World Order is word of mouth. And we use all the means we can do it. You know, and yeah, we do want to get on the news and we do want to get in main big newspapers as well. But they're pretty damn controlled. And if we just keep on doing our thing outside of that, independently, enough people are getting woken up and enough people are hearing stories and working out what's going on. All right, let's continue. Sorry. That's why this internet is the kryptonite to the global elite. Kryptonite, something that brings it down. It's like the Achilles heel. You know what I mean? It's the thing that can shoot them down. It's really important. It's really, really good. And that's what it's done to the Church of Scientology, actually, since 2005, whatever. It's absolutely just... The internet's been causing problems since it started for Scientology, but when it got really, really big, the stuff on the internet, like 2008 with Anonymous and stuff, that really started to just shoot Scientology right. It's such an effective tool of just waking people up to the truth. Anyway, by the way, if you're wondering, it's recommended to do Scientology outside of the church. And I'm sorry to talk about it so much, but seriously, it might just be the greatest thing ever. Okay? It's something, it's a religion that you, it's not even a religion, it's like a science that you study or self-help courses, right? It's a study, it's something that you study, it's like a subject that they should have at school or whatever. Anyway, it's something you can do, and the CIA investigated it, and it got infiltrated by the CIA, right? I could do a whole podcast on that. But they investigated and found out that, like, Scientology basically teaches you how to communicate telepathically, like how to leave your body and float around. Just do all this amazing spiritual stuff. That's why it's really, really, really cool, because it's just like, hey, you know, I think a good TV show is good or whatever, but it's just like, whoa, imagine doing something, right, and then being able to just float up in the air and leave your body and look down at your body and go, hey, body, and then float around the air. I mean, what the hell? That is wild. Imagine the things you could use that for. Imagine if you locked your... You want to see behind a fence that you can't see to the other side of, then you float out of your body, you shoot to the other side, and you go, oh, that's over on that side, and you come back. You know what I mean? It makes you like Peter Pan. He flies. That's cool. Makes you like Superman. It's just cool as. Anyway, I've thoroughly looked into Scientology, and it is either the biggest load of crap ever, the most epic biggest load of crap ever, which in itself is interesting, right? Or it really is what it says it is, and it is absolutely amazing and life-changing. And at the moment, I'm going with the preponderance of evidence is that it is legit and it is the thing. I'll give you an example, right? It's not what it is if you get into the church. You have to do it outside of the church. Anyway, look up Free Zone. When the church was good, like back in the 60s and 50s or whatever, apparently, right, this is so epic, right? When they were training people in it, right, part of the tests that you had to pass, right, in order to pass a test to get given a certain level, right, you had to walk on the street, right, and actually, with your mind, knock someone's hat off their head, right? So you had to walk past, see someone, and then shoot, do whatever you do, you shoot something or energy or something, and knock their hat off their head. And when I first heard that, I thought, no way, that person's lying. And I looked into it, this person's not lying. That's what happened back then. People got taught so well. I mean, imagine doing that. See, this karate is one thing, for example. It's cool to be able to, like, punch people really well and blah, blah, blah. Imagine going and doing, like, a little hobby like karate, but something that's different, going and doing it. And then after it, you can walk down the street and knock someone's hat off their head without touching it. That, to me, is fucking amazing. That, to me, is fucking awesome. I want in on that shit. That is just so interesting. You know, I want to be able to do that. Anyway, people could do that back in the 50s. Hubbard was teaching people how to do that. That's how interesting this is. You know? But it's not like that in the church anymore. Things have been... When it got infiltrated by the CIA, things got screwed up and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, it's just wild. It is just absolutely... Because you read the Scientology books and you go, wow, this guy is either full, like a crazy science fiction-y guy and full of a lot of shit, or he's talking about the real deal. And I've been fact-checking a lot of stuff he's talking about, and it is... It's proven out. You know what I mean? The one thing he does do is he over-exaggerates, though. He'll exaggerate things, though, but he won't just full-on... he's not talking shit. It's not just crazy science fiction. Like, he's just on the ball, you know what I mean? Anyway, it's really interesting and exciting. That's why when you get into it, your life suddenly changes, because things aren't just this boring, like, 9-to-5, you know, just the same old thing, I go to school, watch the same old boring TV shows like The Project and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, you go, whoa, it opens up your mind to just all these new possibilities of things that are possible, and it's heaps of fun. It's like, whoa, it's really, 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 really brings you up. It just makes life fun, like a little kid again. Anyway, let's continue.
What we do here coming out of those meetings is incredible, about the plans of the New World Order to consolidate power. Political power and economic power coming together at the highest level. But what I call the lapdog media the controlled media in this country, you would think that they would be going to court, crying freedom of information, open meetings, sunshine law, and all of these things, but the silence is deafening.
Why is it the major media would deny this? Let's look at the ownership of the major media. Let's look at the roster of, say, the Bilderberg meeting. Catherine Graham owns the Washington Post. Catherine Graham has been to the Bilderbergers. Conrad Black, one of the largest media barons in Canada and Europe, has not only been to these meetings, but he has hosted the meeting just a few years ago.
Every year they meet in secret, and there is an absolute news blackout. There is never anything reported in any of those papers.
David Rockefeller himself thanked the media for keeping this all hushed up.
Okay, David Rockefeller is the guy, rich American guy, real evil. I think he's still alive. Anyway, he's like the most evilistic of them all, or whatever. Who cares? By the way, if anyone's listening to this and they think I've got bad English, I don't really care. As long as you can understand what I'm saying, that's all that matters. And if you're a person who gets angry when people uses bad English, right? Listen to me. You need to go and start doing stuff to get in a better shape and just improve yourself, because if you're getting angry about people pronouncing words wrong, you've got some serious issues you've got to sort out. Seriously. Don't think that I'm in the wrong and I should change my English. If you're getting angry about silly things like that, you've got anger problems. Anyway. Let's continue. I'll read this out because now it's got words. Okay. All right. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supernatural sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national order determination practiced in past centuries. Okay, so see these people right there just saying that they don't think people should be able to govern themselves, and that we are the elite and we're better and we should decide where the country is going to go. Now, I kind of get what they're sort of saying here. They're saying the average person is dumb and shouldn't be in charge of their own politics. I kind of don't totally disagree with that. Yeah, the average person isn't as smart as what they should be. But here's the thing. Who says that they're smart enough to be the leaders? Because they're trying to make out that they're smarter, right? That's what they're saying. That's their argument. This is what they'll say to you. We're smarter, we're better. You need us to control you and all this sort of things and look after things and stuff, because you guys just don't know enough and, you guys just don't know enough and we should look after it, right? And yeah, the average person is dumb and stuff, but if they were good, then that would be all right, because that would make good decisions for all of us. But the thing is that they're not good, they're evil. So when they get into power and they say, you need us to look after everything, and they just turn it all into shit and just make it so that they're the king, basically. And even if these people were smart, you don't need them. You don't need big government. It's just not necessary. It's not efficient. You know, it's just not necessary, all this government and all that crap. People are totally fine to be left alone. We don't need as many rules. We just need a really small amount of governance. Really, 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 really small. Like how the founding fathers originally intended it to be. Right? And just give people freedom and things will be all right. Yes, there will be some car accidents. Yes, there will be some people dying from drugs. It's just how it is in a free world, right? But only be a small amount, right? And trying to solve the problem with big government actually makes things worse. So, yeah, don't go along with it. Don't get sucked into thinking that you need all these managers at McDonald's. You just need one manager at McDonald's, you know. And don't think you need all these rules for staff members. No, you don't need that. Certain people are just... addicted to having rules and control and having all these strict structures and stuff like that. You don't really need that, you know. And I saw it when I was involved with the Church of Scientology. There was a lot of people who were managers and stuff. And that was why the organization was falling to shit, because there wasn't enough people actually working and there was all these managers going around. And when it comes to big government, that's the same thing. It just means all these managers, all these supervisors, all these bosses, nobody, and not enough people actually doing the work. And so these elite people want to have all these bosses and all these managers and all these sort of big corporate, big European unions and big governments and blah, 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 with rules and rules and rules and rules and rules, and rules, right? But it just makes things crap for people who are on the lower level. You have to follow all these rules. And they don't need it. You don't need all these rules. You know what I mean? Like, they try and, like, the government try and pushes for, like, plumbers to have licenses and all this sort of stuff, right? And it's like, you don't really need to have a license, right? If you take a young kid and you just have them trained up by a good plumber, they can do a good job for the rest of their life. And how? And if you want to hire them, you just check by asking their previous customer or just seeing if they seem like a nice and trustworthy person. And then you know they're trustworthy. You don't have to worry about a license. But how they want to make it is that someone has to go to school for 3 years, pay all these fees, have some special license, and they go, here, I've got a license. I'm a good plumber. And the person goes, the customer doesn't know anything about the world, goes, oh, great, I'm going to hire that person because they've got a license. That means they're a good plumber. But it's just like, you can be an awesome plumber without having a license. It's just like you can be an awesome car driver without having to have a car license, for example. Like, when I think about my experiences when it came to driving a car, and I learned bad habits from the people who were teaching you how to drive a car and having to go through the whole testing to get a license, actually, I reckon, made me a worse driver. I reckon if you just put me in the car, had someone who was experienced just help me go along for a bit, and I got a lot of experience up, I reckon I could drive perfectly fine. I didn't need to go and do all this crap that they say when it comes to getting a driver's license and all these sort of silly little things that they tell you. Like, you would stop at the traffic lights and they'll say, pull up the handbrake. You know what I mean? When, like, it's safer that way and it's following the rules or some shit. It's just like, I can have my foot on the brake and it's just fine. And there's another thing that they get you to do is they get you to keep on looking in your mirrors every 5 seconds. So you're driving along and if you keep on checking your mirrors, it's part of the rules. Otherwise, you lose points when you go for your license test. You've got to drive along in that car. I don't know where, I know it's like in Australia. They're pretty strict in Australia with all these rules. They're probably not so much like that in other countries, but anyway, you go along in your car and you suddenly have to look in your mirrors all the time. Oh, I have to pass the driving test. I have to look in the mirrors. And it's a stupid little habit. Like, yeah, as I drive along, I definitely check the mirrors, right? But I check them when it's appropriate and necessary. I don't always every 5 seconds go, oh, I'm going to check the mirrors. And it's distracting. It's taking your eyes off the road. You have to check the mirrors. And another thing is that they do is they probably say, I don't know if there's a rule, but there probably is a rule. You have to look at your speedo every 5 seconds or something like that. So you have to take your eyes off the road, look at the speedo every 5 seconds, look at it every 5 seconds, look at the speed, look at the speed. All these things distract you. And these are things that they're doing to try and make you a better driver, but they actually make you a worse driver. So see how government's not a good thing, right? See how, like, they do things like they put speeding cameras in, right? That's dangerous. It means, like, you freak out when it goes amber and you're like, what the hell? And you're like, oh, am I speeding? And oh, am I going to go through red light? Oh, and it just causes all these problems. And it's suddenly, instead of looking at the road and the intersection you're coming up to, you're looking at your speedo and you're freaking out. And it's just like, it causes more damage than it causes good. I could understand having a speed thingo, right, that was put on a road that, like, was set so that actually, let's say you're supposed to go 60 and someone's going 80, something that's just grossly too fast, right? I can understand having a camera for that, okay? It's stopping people from just going a million miles an hour and doing dangerous things, right? But having a camera there that catches someone who's going like 5Ks over the limit, it's just so silly. And then having one on the intersection, which freaks people out, you know? Like, it's ridiculous. It's like the light turns red and it's just like, boom, you got a fine. Recently I've heard, right, that some people have been getting fines for going through an intersection on amber. It wasn't by cameras, by an actual policeman. He actually fined them for going through when it was amber. Now, that is so ridiculous. It's just like, where are you going to draw the line? Recently, I've heard about people getting fines for riding a bicycle incorrectly in Australia. They're riding their bicycle incorrectly. This is how fucked up it is. And it deserves swear words because it's just getting absolutely ridiculous. Come join me. Just ignore these rules. Have nothing to do with them. Say your opinion. I don't even bother protesting. We should call for some protest in the city for too many rules and just F rules. And anyone who's sick of rules and all these laws and stuff, just protest and say we don't want rules and laws and stuff. Anyway, there always seems to be protests going on in Melbourne. But like, yeah, I like the idea of the no rules thingo. Anyway, so that's what's going on. This whole new world order, all these rules, all these governments are just ridiculous. And they say, they make out, you know, they need to look after the economy and stuff and need to look after healthcare. No, they don't. We don't need all these governments and rules and stuff. And they're just screwing things up. All right, let's continue.
First heard about Bilderberg in 1975, and I said, I don't believe it. That's not possible. Who in hell's Bilderberg? I spent 20 happy years with...
So he goes, first heard about 1975. Well, that's impossible, blah, blah, blah. That's what people's reactions are, but there's two types of people. My reaction is like, what the hell? You know, maybe I'll look into that or whatever. Or what the hell? It doesn't seem true. It's probably not true. But other people's reactions are, what the hell, that's fucking ridiculous, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to look in that, and they never look into things, never find out the truth, they just get angry all the time. And it's just silly. You can't say that something's absolutely ridiculous until you've actually investigated it for yourself. And that's what I said to my friend when I left the church, right? I said, he's saying, you know, those people who lead the church are bad, and you know what I mean. They're screws and blah blah blah. And I said to him, look, you haven't looked into it. You can't comment. You don't know. Don't comment on something that you don't know about. You've just heard that. You've just heard it. Everyone just hears things. They hear this in the news. They hear that. They hear that at the church. It's all here. Like, don't just parrot things. Find out things for yourself. You've got to be your own investigator yourself. Right, and if you want to be the best you can be, and be the best thing you can be, have the best time you want to have, you've got to take control of the car that you're driving. You've got to know everything yourself. You've got to be the expert. Anyway, let's continue.
Metropolitan newspapers, all the wires are clicking at my ear. That could not happen without me knowing about it. And the thing that first impressed me most was caused in 1957. By the late, great Westbrook Pegler, widely syndicated columnist. He wrote two lengthy columns.
Sorry, by the way, I know I crap on about Scientology so much, but the Scientology founder, L. Ron Hubbard, he knew about these Bilderbergers. Like, he knew about this sort of stuff. It's just really interesting. Like, because I'm reading up to a lot of the stuff, he was talking about politics and all this stuff. He knew about these bankers and stuff all back in the 60s and stuff, right? And his church was helping people to break free of having to get medicines and all this sort of stuff because, like, they were getting cured by things and blah, blah, blah. This church was setting people free. So, of course, the New World Order went in and attacked the church like there's no tomorrow. And now, if you tell someone you're a Scientologist, they think you're the biggest nutcase ever. They think it's, like, the craziest thing. It's got the worst reputation ever, right? That's because it's been attacked a lot by the New World Order. They've taken it over. They took it over in the 80s, right? L. Ron Hubbard got old and died, and they've just destroyed the church and everything. And now the church is just... They corrupted the church, and then they just let the church go off and continue corrupted. And then the church did all these bad things because it was corrupted, and then it got itself a bad reputation. But it already had a bad reputation before it actually even got corrupted because of these guys. But now it's epically bad. Anyway... It's just really interesting because he knew about this sort of stuff. Anyway.
About how approximately 100 leaders of international finance, heads of state, high public officials were meeting behind
armed guards closed doors on Jekyll Island, sealed off. What are these powerful internationalists doing? And why is it so secret? Why do they have armed guards outside? Why is it sealed off? The newspapers totally ignore it. Not a word. Total blackout in the United States.
Okay, well, that's it for the podcast tonight. That was just a journalist talking about this Bilderberger meeting and stuff. And how it was being blacked out. If you're in Melbourne, check out the Kink TV show on Channel 31 every Friday night at 11:30 p.m. And if you're not, then just search the Kink TV show on YouTube and you can watch all episodes there. Sorry, this is really weird. I'm trying to do a whole script thing for the show and it's just, I don't know. It's so unnatural. Anyway, thanks for listening. I've been your host, Andy Nolch. Anyway, but speaking of this topic of being unnatural and reading things out, it reads things out like the nightly news, you know what I mean? Like, just, it's too robotic and boring, right? But also, Donald Trump doesn't do that. And I saw a speech recently where Donald Trump did actually read out his speech. And it was definitely not as good. You could totally tell he was reading out. He was looking at it. It just, he had written it. You could tell he'd written it because it sounded just like him. He was saying the usual things he does. But he was just reading from it. It just wasn't as lively. And it was just like, this doesn't connect. It's too robotic. Anyway, I've been your host, Andy Nolch, the Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Ni hao!